Welcome to Take Time Out on Scariff Bay Community Radio. This is a new show where we invite you to take a break from the gloom and the darkness surrounding us at the moment. We aim to raise your spirits, bring you a little joy with some stories and songs, and maybe have a wee chuckle along the way. We hope you enjoy it. Schoolwalk Reflection. I was speaking to my neighbour recently and noted to her that he didn't realise how close the back of her house was to the local national school. Yes, she told me, and during the first lockdown, one of the sounds that she missed the most was the happy reverberations of the school children playing in the yard. She also noted that the cheerful chatter of my two girls, aged 4 and 5, walking their way to school and play school in the morning is something that she enjoys. I'm fortunate that the job I do is office-based and I can currently do it from home. The rushing and racing of the commuter morning is not something that I miss. It is a real joy to be able to walk to school with them. I remember my mother's expression, "The day you can put your two legs under you is a good day." I'm thankful for this morning walk time. I'm thankful to the teachers and the childcare staff who educate my girls. I'm delighted that they are back mixing with their peers, learning and growing in body and mind each day. We've been very lucky weather-wise for these walks and have not had to contend with the rain, unusual you might think for Ireland. This week, however, saw our first wet morning. I offered to drive them down. They declined and voted to walk, and my lessons on democracy were relayed back to me when I was informed that the voice of two rules the voice of one. So we set out on a dark, wet October morning, rain-coated and umbrellaed. We were about halfway to school when Bevan, 5, asked, "Should we turn back? It was very rainy." I said, "No, we can do it. We're halfway there." Maren, 4, then began to have doubts, and the rain was so cold. But we were committed to walking now, and so we kept going. My boots began to let the water in, and I questioned my own judgment as a parent, yet I encouraged them to keep going. We arrived at the childcare centre damp, and I felt a bit uncertain about the wisdom of our walk. We were greeted by Lisa, who told the girls that they were mighty brave to walk in the rain. And with that one comment, she lifted my spirits. Wet socks can be easily changed. Damp faces dried. Positive words fortify. The journey that day was not what we expected. It was harder than we envisioned setting out. We thought a few times, should we turn back? Are we foolish? But the important thing is, we kept going. I'm not sure what they learned in school that day. But we all learned to just keep going. Even when you question yourself, you will get there eventually to your destination of learning.
Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance.
My school days were filled with confusion. I was a bit thick, that's the truth. And my parents came to the conclusion that I wasn't quite fit for Maynooth. Too tall for a dwarf in the circus. I hadn't the height for the guards. An in-between stump of a garçon, not designed for financial rewards. Now my mother said I was a charmer, but my father could be very cross. And he sent me to work for a farmer in a backward place near Carnaross. Well, this man had no sister or brother, and he must have been 70 or more, and he lived with his old widowed mother, an invalid, aged 94. Now the work, it was far, far from easy, and I couldn't do anything right, and the grub, it was anything but grazy, dried stirabout morning and night. But the dinners had great variation. Don't talk about mutton and malt. One week we'd get salt and potatoes, and the next week potatoes and salt. Then the next month things got a bit better. An old gander died up in the coop, and we ate the mate straight from the feathers, and we dined for a month on the soup. Then the next month 'twas all vegetation, just cabbage and turnips and grass. It wasn't high-calorie rations till misfortune befell the old lass. One morning I went to catch Walter, for that was the old donkey's name, but as soon as I pulled on the halter, I could see he was terribly lame. I went up and I told the old farmer. He eyed him up crooked and straight. When he spoke, his voice choked with emotion. "Sure, there's no use in wasting good meat." Then he sent me up home for the hatchet, the big butcher's knife and the saw, and poor Walter just gave one last hee-haw as he sank in a heap in the straw. Then he wiped the big knife on his breeches, saying, "That's the last journey for Walt." And he split the owl ass down the middle, and he sent me to town for the salt. Now the mate of an ass is like rubber, too strong for a stomach like mine, but the farmer had teeth like a grubber, and he ate the mate straight from the brine. Then he offered a piece to his mother, thinking that it might help her improve. But she spent the night roaring for Andrews, just to keep the ass mate on the move. Well, he slept and he snored in the kitchen, and she belched and she broke wind upstairs. Oh, with the noise and the smell and vibration, I was hard put to say me night prayers. I got up the next day bright and early. As I came down, I saw with surprise the old doll was laid out on the table, and the farmer just closing her eyes. Oh, I ran from that house terror-stricken. The farmer was shouting, "Halt, halt!" As I glanced back in horror, I could just hear him holler, "Will you not go to town for the salt?"
Now Delaney had a donkey that everyone admired, temporarily lazy and permanently tired, a leg at every corner, balance in his head, and a tail to let you know which end he wanted to be fed. Riley slyly said, "We've underrated it, why not train it?" Then they took a rag, they rubbed it, scrubbed it, they oiled and imbricated it, got it at the post, and when the starter dropped the flag, there was Riley pushing it, shoving it, shushing it, Hogan, Logan, and everyone in town lined up attacking it and shoving it and smacking it. They might as well try to push the town hall down. The donkey was eyeing them, openly defying them, winking, blinking, and twisting out of place, Riley reversing it, everybody cursing it. The day Delaney's donkey ran the half-mile race, the muscles of the mighty never known to flinch, they couldn't move the donkey a quarter of an inch. Delaney lay exhausted, hanging round his throat, with a grip just like a Scotsman on a £5 note. Starter Carter, he lined it with the rest of them, when it saw them, it was willing then, it raced up, braced up, ready for the best of them. They started off to cheer it, but it changed its mind again, and there was Riley pushing it, shoving it, shushing it, Hogan, Logan, and Mary Ann McGrath. She started poking it and grabbing it and choking it. It kicked her in the bustle and it laughed, hee-ha. The Whigs and Conservatives, the Radical Superlatives, Liberals and Tories, they hurried to the place, stood there in unity, helping the community. The day Delaney's donkey ran the half-mile race, the crowd began to cheer it, and Rafferty, the judge, he came up to assist him, but still it wouldn't budge. And the jockey who was riding it, little John McGee, was so thoroughly disgusted that he went and had his tea. Hagen, Fagan were students of psychology, swore they'd shift him with some dynamite. They bought it, brought it, and without apology, the donkey gave a sneeze and blew the whole lot out of sight. And there was Riley pushing it, shoving it, shushing it, oh, Hogan, Logan and all the bally crew. Police and auxiliary, the garrison artillery, the second in the skillings and the lifeguards too. They seized it and harried it, they picked it up and carried it, cheered it, steered it to the winning place. Then the bookmakers drew aside. The day Delaney's donkey won the half mile race.
A favourite poem of mine features a little Morgan colt who's not winter broken and is terrified of the snow. He bolts, but he may run all he likes, he cannot escape the terror of the snow. Were she with him, his mother, the voice of experience, would advise him with, "Sakes, it's only weather." And he'd learn, as I did, to believe that voice. Storms can be weathered. That is Robert Frost's voice. That's my mother's voice. It has taught me a new song. When I'm overwhelmed and feel like bolting, I remember the runaway and stand my ground. The runaway. Once when the snow of the year was beginning to fall, we stopped by a mountain pasture to say, "Who's colt?" A little Morgan had one forefoot on the wall, the other curled at his breast. He dipped his head and snorted at us, and then he had to bolt. We heard the miniature thunder where he fled, and we saw him, or thought we saw him, dim and grey, like a shadow against the curtain of falling flakes. I think the little fellow's afraid of the snow. He isn't winter-broken. It isn't play with the little fellow at all. He's running away. I doubt if even his mother could tell him, "Sakes, it's only weather." He'd think she didn't know. Where is his mother? He cannot be out alone. And now he comes again with a clatter of stone and mounts the wall again with whited eyes and all his tail that isn't hair up straight. He shudders his coat as if to throw off flies. Whoever is it that leaves him out so late, when other creatures have gone to stall and bin, ought to be told to come and take him in. You have been listening to Take Time Out on Scariff Bay Community Radio. We heard Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves, School Reflection by Roisin Bugler, Galway Girl by Ed Sheeran, The Carn Ross Farmer by Noel Hogan, Delaney's Donkey by Val Dunigan, Robert Frost's poem The Runway by Ger Condren, and I Got You Babe from Sonny and Cher. Tune in again next week for another Take Time Out with Scariff Bay Community Radio. Meanwhile, look out for the moments of joy in the week ahead. Mind yourselves and each other. Until next time.